right, we are back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. That was great having Governor Mike Dukakis on in our first segment. And in this segment, from the Humane Society of the United States, a good friend of Richard's, Josh Bach. Anyway,
Josh, we were talking about baseball with Governor Dukakis. So I've got to ask you, with a name like Bach, did you have to play baseball?
You know what? You do have to play baseball. And in fact, I was a pitcher growing up, and I wanted to be a professional pitcher for the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
My first word was Bill Buckner. He played first base on the Cubs at the time.
And
for Governor Dukakis from Massachusetts, he knows what Bill Buckner was all about at the end of his career, sadly, which is that famous error in the World Series.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yes, to answer your question.
But you know what? You know what people forget is if Bob Stanley hadn't thrown that wild pitch, Bill Buckner would have been holding the guy on first, and the ball would have been hit right to him.
Well, you know, you have a very good memory.
I do.
You have a very good memory. And,
I do.
I always think that he hasn't been remembered for how good a hitter he was.
He had almost 3,000 hits.
I'm happy that the Red Sox finally won to kind of get over that.
Exactly. Did you grow up in Chicago?
You know, I grew up outside of Philadelphia,
okay. And
I was a late talker. My dad happened to be watching a Phillies-Cubs baseball game.
Oh,
for whatever reason, I said the words Bill Buckner. So my dad wanted me to keep talking, which he might regret to this day. And so he had me watch as many Cubs games as possible.
Okay.
So, Josh, now you are based in San Diego?
I'm based in lovely Washington, D.C., at our headquarters at the Humane Society of the United States.
Gotcha. So how did you and Richard ever cross paths?
That's who our guest, John Paul, who's sitting in studio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But, Josh, just briefly, where did you grow up, go to school, and how did you wind your way up with Humane Society?
Yeah, I grew up outside of Philadelphia, cared mostly about baseball, but I also had a heart for animals, just like, you know, probably you all and your listeners grew up with dogs. And you know, the dogs were members of my family. You know, to me, they were my furry brothers. And so I always had a heart for animals. And when I was in college, to further my baseball aspirations, I looked more into how animals are being, you know, raised and treated in the food industry. And so it started to outrage me. And I just felt like it didn't live up to my values that I have regarding animals being treated with kindness and compassion. And finally, my baseball career at Keystone College outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania, came to an end after a shoulder surgery. And Scranton is famous for either Joe Biden or The Office, one of the two.
Right, The Office. Dunder Mifflin.
Exactly.
Dunder Mifflin, exactly.
Exactly right. Yeah. I didn't intern at Mifflin, but I wish I did. but that's where my baseball career ended. I hurt my shoulder there, and I transferred to George Washington University in D.C., and I started interning at the Humane Society of the United States to follow my passion of helping animals.
And that's how
I got started.
But I got to tell you the funniest baseball story ever that relates to dogs, and then we'll get serious again. Tommy Lasorda, when a reporter referred to Daryl Strawberry as a dog because he didn't hustle, Tommy said, "Don't insult my dog. When I throw my dog the ball, he actually hustles after it."
Very good. Actually, another note, Tommy Lasorda is an animal person, too.
I know he is.
So that was actually a great reference for this topic.
Oh. Absolutely.
So, Josh, education, did you go? Give us a little bit about that. Where'd you go to school and what'd you major in and all that?
All right, so the first college I went to, mostly for baseball, is called Keystone College. I went there more for a general education for an associate's degree. When I transferred to George Washington University in D.C., it was political science, which makes a lot of sense being in D.C. And I just wanted to make big changes for animals. And at the time, and for a large extent, I still believe this, a way to do it is working to pass laws to prevent cruelty to animals. And it's through working with state legislatures, working through Congress to make these laws come to fruition. And that's why I pursued that in college. And I was just walking down the street, guys, one of these days, probably wearing, you know, old jeans and sneakers and a shirt I probably didn't watch, and just walked into the Humane Society of the United States building, and I was like, "Hey, I love to intern. Can you give me a shot?" And that was the days before interviews and background checks, where they'd really think, "Okay, this guy has to look a little bit more professional before doing interviews like this." And they gave me this shot on the spot, and I've been working to help animals ever since.
How long ago was that?
What year was that? Yeah.
That was 2001.
Okay.
2001 in D.C., that was the first time I lived in D.C. and have been there ever since. And what I learned while interning is that there are just so many areas that we can help animals in the United States, and so I got to work on it in a very holistic way to help wildlife, to help companion animals like dogs and cats, to help farm animals. And so it got me to open my eyes to a lot of issues out there that I otherwise wouldn't even know about.
And what's your official title with Humane Society?
Vice President of Farm Animal Protection.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Josh, let me ask you, have you seen that documentary, Food Inc.?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I thought it was a very good documentary, and I think it showed how food is produced in a way that I think probably surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, the
And I think it shows a lot of areas that we can improve.
Yeah, the fact.
And that's what we're all about at the Humane Society of the United States.
We're talking
farm animals.
Factory farms we're talking, right, where they just...
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. So. For your listeners who might not know the term you just used, a factory farm is typically a warehouse that confines thousands and thousands of animals, oftentimes in small cages where they can't even move their whole life. And, you know, we all probably grew up with old McDonald's farm, you know, where animals are outside living an idyllic life.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, most farm animals aren't treated like that, and they're treated in ways that if we treated our dogs or cats, would be arrested for animal cruelty. So that is typically what a factory farm is.
Mm, absolutely. And, of course, I know a lot of it's the chicken industry, which is not really – you're more about the – well, I guess it is farm animals, right? Chicken.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
It includes chicken.
Chicken.
I was looking
absolutely.
At the website.
And beef and everything else. God, a few years ago, remember they showed they're using downer cattle. These are the sick cattle, mm-hmm. and they grind them up and throw them into the food supply. I mean, there's – and what about all the antibiotics and hormones and stuff? Are you on top of that, Josh?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're 100% right about the downer cow. In fact, the most famous case in the country was in California, and that was Hallmark Westland. It was the largest beef recall in U.S. history. The beef went to school districts across the country, and it was actually from a Humane Society of the United States undercover investigation that found that these downer cattle were being forced to slaughter. And for those who may not know, downer cows mean animals who, because they're sick or injured, can't walk. And so they're either dragged there with chains, they're beaten, and in the case of this investigation, we found that they were actually water tortured by sticking hoses up their nostrils as a form of waterboarding to get them to move. So it's very sad stuff, but you're absolutely right. The downer cow issue was a serious concern. It still is, and we addressed it in big ways with that investigation.
Yeah. So, Josh, how many people do you have back there in D.C. at the Humane Society?
We have about 600 people work at the Humane Society of the United States.
Okay. Wow.
Who on the Hill are your biggest champions? We should probably recognize people that you work with politically and give them a little kudos. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I got to say, the California delegation has typically been very positive on animal welfare issues.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Brown has been phenomenal. Both senators have been very good. Not all, but most of the congresspeople in California have been very positive. So I think your listeners should be proud that typically their legislators in California have been very positive when it comes to moving the ball forward for animals.
Well, that's good because we are I know we're the number one agricultural state. I don't know where we stand in the terms of food production with due to animals, but I know we're up there. But a lot of it's Iowa and the middle of the breadbasket, right?
You're exactly right. California is a big agricultural state. It's there are millions of egg-laying hens in California, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also right that the Midwest is home to a lot of factory farms.
I remember,
and that's often where a lot of these problems come from.
I remember driving through Nebraska once, and I came upon Ogallala, Nebraska, and the manure aroma. Stay with me. I had the windows up, air conditioned on, and it was for several miles. It didn't do any good.
Yes. Oh gosh. That's one of the problems of factory farming. Is it's not just bad for animals. It's bad for rural communities.
Yeah.
I mean, what you smelled when you were driving through Nebraska. Imagine living there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the smell of your house.
People have to live there and work there too.
Live there and work there. Exactly right. Exactly right. These rural communities are often decimated by factory farms. It's so sad that families don't want to have family members come visit. They don't have friends come over to visit.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they're in lower income communities. That's hard for them to leave. So, it's a sad thing when it comes to living near factory farms.
That's one of the many
reasons why there's a problem.
And how about the methane for the environment? That's not so hot either. So, but anyway.
Exactly,
Josh,
yeah.
Sit tight. We've got to take a quick break.
We're going to come back with Josh Buck, Vice President of Farm Animals Protection at the Humane Society of the United States. Hang on. All right, we're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is the time where Richard likes to thank our sponsors.
Big thank you to our sponsors. Got a bunch of CPAs and tax preparers. Hey, it's tax time, so why not? Signature Analytics, a great CFO service firm, very specialized on the CFO side. Jason Kruger heads that firm up, a recent guest of this show. Also, more traditional CPAs. Pluto Epic CPAs up in San Marcos. And for those of you who want very efficient income tax return preparation, we also have Happy Tax. Check out happytax.com, a paperless app-based solution to getting income tax returns done very quickly and cost-efficiently, where you don't have to carry boxes of stuff over to your accountant. Also, our great friend Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Another recent guest, Paul Hines. Paul, of course, heads up Hearthstone Private Wealth Management. He's their CEO, all fiduciary, all the time, and he's also the catalyst behind SeniorSafeAndSound.org here in San Diego, helping to prevent financial abuse of the elderly. VFO Hub, that's V like Victor, FO Hub with Alex Sonkin and Tony Lombardi, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. Also, Elite Lifestyle Management with Michelle St. Clair. For those of you who have no time, Elite Lifestyle Management can help you get your most precious asset back. That would be your time. From simple things like travel arrangements to more complex things like getting the hottest ticket in Hollywood to a movie premiere like Michelle helped Joe and I last year. Also, a new sponsor, Prediction Works with Mark Long. He's going to be a guest coming up here in a couple of weeks for people in the venture capital space who are looking at investment opportunities. Prediction Works will help you figure out what deals to invest in and which ones to go running away from, screaming as fast as you can. PredictionWorks.com. And for those of you who still have an appetite after Joe's graphic description, we have some great food sponsors. My niece, Melissa Sutherland, owns Solana Beach Coffee Company in Solana Beach on Coast Highway between Villa de la Valle and Loma Santa Fe. Solana Beach Coffee Company, as well as a couple of other great sponsors, right, Joe?
Absolutely. We have the Very Good Food Foundation, headed up by Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac, putting on great foodie events throughout the year, and also Lestat's Coffee Houses, the original University, Adams Avenue, Normal Heights, University Heights, new one on University Avenue, all open 24-7, 365, with great food, great coffee, and packed all the time.
And in some cases, great music.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of these sponsors have been working with you, Richard, for many years with great success, right?
Going on for about three decades. Also wanted to thank John Paul Olmsted, who helped us get Josh Bach arranged as this show's guest. John Paul is hanging out in studio with us talking about tennis down in Indian Wells, one
Absolutely.
Of his favorite topics.
So if you go on iymoney.com, there is a sponsor tab at the top of the page, and you can there's a drop-down menu. You can learn about any or all of our sponsors there. In addition, all of the guests of the past approximately 335 shows are there as well, and some really great shows.
They're even alphabetical.
Yes.
That would be by last name.
Yes, they're alphabetical, and they're terrific. I have people still listening to the one with the famous San Diego Chicken and all kinds of Don Rickles, all kinds of great
shows. Did we alphabetize him under Chicken or under his last name,
Giannoulis? He's under Giannoulis.
We should have put it under Chicken.
Well, if you guys Google IY Money and Chicken, you will find it.
You will find it.
Speaking of, hey, that's a good
Speaking of chickens.
Yes, yeah, that's a good lead-in back
so
to
Josh,
our guest.
So, Josh, the present environment in Washington, the present administration, good for animals, bad for animals? Do people care more or less given the environment in Washington?
The present administration has not been very favorable to animals at this point. We always have hope for positive change, and we hope for that to be the case as well. As one example, there's something called the King Bill that Representative Steve King from Iowa is pushing, and that would eliminate farm animal protection laws, and laws even go beyond farm animals all across the country. It's a shame he's doing it because his district is home for more factory farm egg-laying hens than any other district in the nation.
What state
but that's
is
one
that?
Example
Iowa.
Of what Congress Iowa. Is doing.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Wow. Iowa. Well, you know, there's. Do you deal with exotic animals like lions, tigers, and things like that, or is that somebody else in your organization?
Yeah, our organization does deal with that issue of exotic animals, and, you know, there's a whole host of problems that happen when people have animals like lions and tigers in their homes. And as an example, in Ohio, there was a disturbed person who had them in his home, and they escaped and wreaked havoc in the community. So it's just it's a very bad situation having these exotic animals as pets.
Well, we have an organization here called Lions, Tigers, and Bears. It's about a
Bobby Brink.
Yeah, 99-acre facility out here in Alpine, and she goes and rescues these animals. She even has a truck when she goes with her husband or some crew, and they'll go to drive to Texas to save a tiger or a lion. And there's some people, crazy people, who will like dig a pit like 25 or 30 feet and just throw an animal like that and keep it down there. You know, there's just some really disturbed people.
It's sickening.
That's certainly true. And you know, it takes the rest of our society to keep these social norms with how animals ought to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a pretty basic common belief that animals should not be abused. They should not be treated with cruelty. And on the farm animal front, California is actually leading the way, not just in past years, but there's a ballot measure this year in California that would be the most far-reaching law for farm animals in history. So I'm excited for the big November vote to hopefully ensure that passes as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of these kids, like for instance, the shooter in Parkland, this kid was cruel to animals growing up, you know, and I think if educators or parents, if we're more aware of, I mean, there's obviously a screw loose with somebody who takes pleasure in torturing a cat or an animal or anything like that. And, they should really enforce the laws. I know people can go to jail for animal cruelty, right?
Yes, it's certainly illegal to have malicious cruelty to animals in all 50 states. And you're also right, is that typically when there is someone who's violent to other humans, they often started being violent to animals. So it's an early indicator of where that person is going to be in his or her life. You know, there's also other problems that lead to egregious cruelty to animals, such as when you confine egg-laying hens in small cages, that leads to salmonella issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never just an inherent problem of being abusive to animals. It trickles out to other problems in societies, whether it's food safety and food production or human-to-human violence when it comes to egregious one-on-one cruelty with another animal.
Yeah. So, Josh, as a consumer here in California, what things can I do in terms of my buying decisions and other decisions I make surrounding food?
First thing that people can do in California is go to preventcrueltyca.com and volunteer for this campaign that has been joined by thousands of volunteers up and down the state. It would put on the November ballot a measure that would ban not only the production of animals who are confined in small cages they can't even move, like egg-laying hens and veal calves and mother pigs. It would also ban the sale of products that come from those cruel practices.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we're collecting signatures. We want to collect about 600,000 of them by the next 50 days or so, by the end of this gathering period, and then get on the ballot. And when we're on the ballot, we hope people vote yes for it. But in the meantime, on your question, the best thing we can do is go to preventcrueltyca.com and volunteer for this far-reaching campaign that has support up and down the state.
Let me ask you, when we see these eggs in the store, free range, are those the best ones? What are the best ones we can buy?
What does free range mean exactly?
So that's such a good question. Most egg-laying hens are confined in small cages so they can't spread their wings their whole life. They're given less space than a sheet of paper on which to live. Look at an iPad. That's the space an egg-laying hen has. So there are now options that don't involve confining animals in cages, like cage-free, where they're typically not in a cage but still in a barn. Free range typically means they have some outdoor access.
Okay.
Pasture means that they're mostly outdoors walking around in pasture. Organic means they're also given organic feed. So those are the different options out there in the market, but certainly the worst is the what often is called the prototypical egg from a caged chicken.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen the pasture labels. I have seen the cage-free, and of course, Bill and Michelle have hens on their property, so they have the best eggs. But
yeah, grow your own.
I'm sure those hens are treated so well that if all animals are treated that well, I'd probably retire.
Yeah.
You know, I would be willing to just live on their property, not even in their house. It's so nice.
Josh, you know, San Diego has the most farms in this county, I think, than almost any other. There's like 10,000 farms here. You know, some small, obviously, but, people don't realize how agricultural our county is alone. Of course, we're about the fourth.
That is certainly true, and San Diego County actually was a leader in passing what was called Proposition 2 in 2008, which at the time was the most far-reaching law to prevent farm animals from being abused, including giving calves, hens, and mother pigs more space.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, yes, there are a lot of farmers down in San Diego County, and many of them were pushing this initiative forward.
We'll find out who
farm animals can have
are.
A better life.
Yeah, we're going to come back with Josh Bach, Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society, right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with Josh Bach, who is Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States in Washington, D.C. And I guess we wanted to give some credit to our local politicians and organizations and papers. So you want to do that, Josh, talking about that initiative that you were referencing?
In 2008, Proposition 2 passed, which at the time was a very strict law for farm animals, and San Diego's city council endorsed, San Diego's mayor endorsed. The San Diego Union Tribune was the first newspaper in the state to endorse, and in San Diego had more volunteers, you know, per community than any other place in the state. Mm. So San Diego deserves so much credit to passing Proposition 2, which passed with 63.5% of the vote in November 2008. And that started the pathway of other states enacting laws that became as strict and even stricter against cruelty in the future.
Yeah.
And Josh, geographically in the country, is it easier for you guys to get traction in certain places and more difficult in others?
You know, California has always been a wonderful place to work on animal protection legislation. And I think that, you know, people throughout the state have a real good sentiment when it comes to right and wrong, mm-hmm. when it related to animals. And California also has a belief of being a leader. So when you combine the idea that animals should be treated well and the concept of being a leader, it creates a perfect atmosphere to work in the state and pass far-reaching laws to actually make the biggest difference you can. So California has been tremendous, and certainly it's hard to find a better place to lead the way for animals.
Gotcha.
And question, ag gag laws. What are ag gag laws, and why is that important?
Yeah, they're shameful. The problem is that the factory farming industry doesn't want consumers to know how animals are raised within the factory farm walls. And so the doors are locked. There's no windows. You can't get on the property to see how these animals are raised. So what's happened is that whistleblowers started coming out mm-hmm. and saying, hey, this is what's going on. These animals are being abused. In fact, I have videotape to prove it. And so people all across the country, often for the first time, got to see how animals were confined in cages so small they could never turn around, how they're locked in cages, jam-packed, they can barely move an inch their whole life. And so what did the factory farming industry do? Did they try to make conditions better? No.
That was a rhetorical question. Of course we knew.
Yes, that was rhetorical. You got it. Instead, what they did, unfortunately, is to try to push ag gag laws to make it a crime to be a whistleblower. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine being part of an industry where it's a crime to tell people what's happening. That is how poorly animals are treated in factory farms, but also it should motivate us all, like right here in California, when you have an opportunity to make things better, to go out and let's do it.
Yeah. Your website, we should give it, humanesociety.org, humanesociety.org. And what was that other California one that we were talking about?
Prevent Cruelty CA.
Prevent Cruelty CA. Are they still in operation and doing good work?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That's the campaign going on literally right now. There are people in San Diego right now, as we're talking, collecting signatures on petitions to get this question on the ballot that would ban the confinement of farm animals in cages and the sale products that come from them. So absolutely, San Diego County is a hub of this effort of Prevent Cruelty CA, and I would love for your listeners to check it out.
And if we get it on the ballot, it's going to pass.
Yeah, wasn't there an initiative they wanted a cage just big enough so the chicken could turn around or something? I mean, because they were. I mean, there's something as simple.
Yeah, you're right. Is that back? That was the initiative we were talking about back in 2008. So a decade mm-hmm. ago, at the time, there were no laws anywhere in the country related to egg-laying hens. And very few states have anything related to mother pigs or veal calves. So mm-hmm. California became the first state in the nation to mandate more space for these animals.
Mm.
But what has happened since is a good thing, is that other places across the country mm-hmm. have caught up. And some states, like Massachusetts, your guest former state, that state has gone even further than California. So California led the way, but it's time for California to, again, catch up and lead the way one more time.
So, Josh, do you have any pets in D.C., or is it too hard to have pets living in the city there?
You know, I grew up with pets my whole life, but sadly, my travel schedule will leave me to be a deadbeat dad.
Okay,
so one day when I settle down, I'd love to adopt a dog. But okay. In the meantime, we have a dog and a workplace policy at the Humane Society of the United States, so I get to play around with all my colleagues' dogs who are at work.
Oh, that's cool.
So what are some of the top one, two, or three issues that are you're facing right now at Humane Society? Any initiatives that we haven't touched upon yet?
Well, the big one is what's going on in California, Prevent Cruelty CA, and that's an overarching campaign to eliminate the intensive confinement of farm animals.
Okay.
And on the farm animal front, that is certainly top of mind because not only is it cruel to confine farm animals in cages, it just goes against all common sense and all science about how animals ought to be treated. So that is certainly a top-tier issue. We've worked with McDonald's, Walmart, Safeway, and every major food company you can probably think of to start phasing out eggs, pork, and veal from those type of operations.
Mm-hmm.
The second tier in the farm animal front has to do with chickens who are in the meat industry. Chickens in the meat industry are genetically manipulated to grow so big, so obese, so fast or full size after just about 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine how big they are to be full size just about a month and a half in.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is launching campaigns to help these animals actually be healthier and not grow so big and so fast and have better conditions within the farm.
Josh,
And the other top and the final top issue, I would say, is helping the move the food industry away from focusing so much on meat, eggs, and dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a little variety in there. Let's have some more plant-based products in there. In fact, major meat companies are actually doing this. Tyson Foods is one of the world's largest meat companies, and it's now investing in California-based company called Beyond Meat and other type of companies that are now producing more plant-based foods. if we can get rid of these confinement practices, improve the lives of chickens in the meat industry, and eat more plant-based foods, I think we're going to move in a really good direction.
I was going to ask you, are you a carnivore or a more vegetarian person yourself?
You know, I grew up a carnivore for sure, and for the majority of my life I was.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I started hearing about what's going on at factory farms, and actually I did an undercover investigation in a slaughterhouse, I started reevaluating my own personal choices.
Where'd you do that, and what'd you discover?
Well, I did it in what's called Shawell, Maryland. It was in a major slaughter plant run by Purdue, and I was hooked up with a hidden camera. And what I discovered is that chickens, when they're slaughtered, they are fully conscious when they're shackled. They're in constant pain. They're scared. And it just doesn't resemble anything that we'd ever want to see happen in our society, the way these animals are treated in the slaughterhouse. So it's heartbreaking, but it also motivates me to make the world better.
And it's interesting for those of us who do a lot of business travel, there's a lot of challenges when you go out of California to other parts of the country actually finding good food choices.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a challenge,
Josh,
for you guys, too.
How did you get into the factory? How did you sneak in there?
I applied for a job through a temp agency.
A temp agency?
And,
okay.
That's great.
Yeah, you know what? There's so much turnover in a slaughterhouse. They're desperate for workers because, you know, it's a really tough job.
Yeah.
And so they put me in there, and I just went to work and exposed to a lot of abuses that are going on.
And they don't like unions either, I don't think, Purdue. So, right? I don't think they treat their workers.
I'm sure they don't like unions.
So.
Well, you know, it's the situation where what's bad for animals is bad for people. These slaughterhouses are horrible for animals. They're in constant pain, and it's just a miserable end of their life. But it's also bad for workers.
Yeah.
You know, they're in constant pain trying to shackle these animals. Imagine trying to shackle one animal every 3 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and your wrist and fist hitting the shackle every 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a very painful existence for workers. So it's a bad situation for all.
Cannot imagine doing something like that. So. But federal legislation, you think the California legislation will lead to a federal move on this? Or?
Well, we certainly have seen in the past that when California moves, not only do other states follow, but corporations tend to follow as well.
Mm-hmm.
So history is the best predictor of the future, and I think this is going to happen again.
How about our lieutenant governor? He looks like he's in line to be the next governor. I guess is he pretty sympathetic to other causes as well?
Yes. Yeah. He's very sympathetic for animal issues. He's been a strong supporter of animal protection throughout his career.
That would be Gavin Newsom, right, Joe, for our listeners?
Gavin Newsom was a big supporter of Proposition 2 in 2008, mm-hmm. and he's spoken out on television numerous times about the need to protect animals from cruelty. So the fortunate thing in California is that typically leaders have and now currently have been spokespeople and, in their heart, true believers about protecting animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I think we have to wrap
up.
So,
Josh, quick question. You still a Cubs fan, or are you doing Washington Nationals now?
No, I'm sticking with the Cubs.
Okay, good.
Good. Anyway.
All right, really appreciate it.
We have to thank you. Thank you, Governor Mike Dukakis. Thank you, Josh Bach, for the Humane Society of the United States. Thank you, Richard Musso. Great seeing you.
John Paul, thanks for getting this arranged.
Yes, John Paul, in studio. Thank you, Justin Hart, our board operating, for making us sound terrific. And to Craig Blanke and Dave Sniff here at KFMB, thanks for all their help. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iWayMoney.com, and next week it will be Fred Dickey. Have a good week. See you next time. Bye-bye.